sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? You were listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Sean Sears, and on today's episode, we've got somewhat of a season preview as the Cubs announced their 50-man roster, 60-man roster coming supposedly around 4 p.m. Eastern Time Monday. So the final cuts will be coming up. We have, for the most part, the nucleus of what this roster is going to look like. So we'll kind of discuss that as well as what this season is expected to look like in 2020 and beyond. So touch on that in the first segment, and then in the second segment we've got a couple quick news bullets, some of the players' reactions to the season getting started. Yu Darvish has a new pitch, and we have seen the first player for the MLB to opt out of the 2020 season. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked On Cubs, which is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On to get $10 off your first order. And then of course this podcast is a partner of CubsInsider.com. Head to Cubs Insider to watch Brennan Davis take Corey Abbott, who are both the Cubs minor league player and pitcher of the year, yard in a massive shot to left field, which was teased by Corey Abbott. Wrote an article about it at Cubs Insider. You can check out the video there, but check out Cubs Insider, official partner of Locked On Cubs. And then you can get Locked On Cubs or whatever podcast app you use, whether that's Google, Spotify, Apple, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere you listen to your podcast. Make sure you subscribe and leave a 5-star review. And then make sure you're following us on Twitter at Lockdown Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. And then make sure you're checking out our sister stations, Lockdown Bulls, getting ready to ramp up with Jordan Malley and Matt Peck. Plenty to talk about the NBA. Not a ton to talk about the Bulls, as Jim Boylan's still the coach. All sorts of things like that. So head to Lockdown Bulls for the latest on that. Lockdown Bears, obviously, quite a bit of talk going around Cam Newton signing with the Patriots after the Bears traded a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles to pay him, I think, $9 million, something along the lines of that. Kind of weird, especially because Newton got a minimum deal. But Lauren Cox all over that. And then, of course, White Sox, Herb Lawrence getting ready to kick off. We are playing, we being the Cubs. The Cubs are going to be playing the White Sox 6 times in 2020. We'll have to bring Herb on and talk about the crosstown rival and get his take on things. And of course, Lockdown Blackhawks and Jay Zawoski still going strong as the NHL is trying to pick a city. They are pushing hard, it sounds like, from Chicago, despite COVID cases still kind of being all over the place. So, but if you're looking for your Chicago fix, head to Lockdown, find any of our main podcasts there. So in the first segment, we are talking about this Cubs kind of 60-man roster, but definitely just 50-man roster that was released yesterday, Sunday. We'll go through the list quickly here. For the pitchers, Rex Brothers, left-handed relievers, expect to be on this club. Tyler Chatwood, fifth starter. Jarrell Cotton, a starter, considered to be depth, the guy that was going to be in Iowa, not with the Cubs at the moment. Yu Darvish, Kyle Hendricks. Danny Holzin, a left-handed reliever, should be in the mix. Jeremy Jeffress, a right-handed reliever that's expected to be in that bullpen. Craig Kimbrell, of course, the closer. John Lester. Dylan Maples, a guy that gets to make this roster along with Trevor McGill, two guys that were probably on the cusp or the bubble. McGill's interesting because he's a Rule 5 pick, so he has to play 50 games this year with the Cubs on the active roster, otherwise he does get sent back to San Diego. So the Cubs being able to bump their roster to 60 at the moment and 30, or 40, excuse me, for the active roster itself. So we'll have to see what goes with there. But McGill getting a shot. Alec Mills, James Norwood, a reliever. Jose Quintana, expected to be in this rotation. Colin Rea, a really good pitcher for Iowa last year who had kind of a rough start to spring training. We'll have to see if he bounces back, but has a good track record as a solid starter. Kyle Ryan, expected to be in this bullpen as one of their few lefties. Casey Sadler, a guy from the Dodgers, can miss bats. pretty good at throwing strikes, might be a part of this bullpen in the future. Ryan Tapera, a veteran with some injury history, but a right-handed reliever. Dwayne Underwood, a guy that's been on in this Cubs mix for a little bit, but has a chance to stick now as a reliever. Rowan Wick and Brad Wick expected to be part of the bullpen, especially Wick being a back into that bullpen. And then Dan Winkler is expected to be a setup man for the Cubs this year, right-handed reliever from the Braves. So in terms of position players, at catcher, they've got Victor Caratini, Wilson Contreras, PJ Higgins, and Josh Fegley. It's expected that either Fegley or Higgins should make this team outright because the Cubs do seem keen on carrying a third catcher. Josh Fegley seems to be that guy. Infielders, you've got Javier Baez, David Bote, Chris Bryant, Daniel Descalso, Nico Horner, Jason Kipnis, Anthony Rizzo. No real surprises there. Maybe Descalso, kind of. I think it is weird they don't have another shortstop on this 60-man roster that's expected to. They'll probably add someone like Zach Short or Hernan Perez could be a part of this team. But right now, the only true shortstop they have is Baez and kind of Horner, but he's expected to make starts at second base this year, so we'll have to see. Outfielders, Albert Almora, Ian Happ should be expected to split time in center field. Jason Hayward, Kyle Schwarber, and Steven Souza will take the corners. And then Ian Miller, a guy with a lot of speed and had some pretty good numbers in spring training before it was suspended, could be an interesting piece there. And then the Cubs on their summer camp roster, which will be taking place or practicing workouts in South Bend, Indiana, at the Four Winds Field in South Bend. Pitchers on that squad right now are Jason Adam, Adbert Elsley, Juan Gomez, Braylon Marquez, Dakota Mekis, and Michael Rucker. The only lefty on there, Braylon Marquez. Catchers is just Miguel Amaya, their top catching prospect. Infielders, Robel Garcia and Christopher Morrell, a guy that I saw a good amount of stuff from Brian Smith from Bleacher Nation talking about yesterday on Twitter. He seems like a fun prospect. And then Brendan Miller and Mark Zagunis round out the outfield so far. That's expected to probably get more players involved, I would assume. Than just 11 guys in that South Bend roster. The Cubs do have now 50 players on the 60-man roster. They do have to report their full roster. I believe it has to be at 4 p.m. Eastern time here in, or 4 p.m. Eastern time, so 3 p.m. here Central time in Chicago. But regardless, the roster should be rounding out shortly, and I would expect maybe a few more arms and some infielders, probably shortstops, maybe another outfielder, those type of things, maybe a lefty reliever. We'll have to see what happens there. But that should be coming. So we should get a final tally of what this roster is going to look like. But I think for the most part, the players that we expected to be on this roster, for the most part, are on there. Main takeaways from this so far, Burl Callaway, who seemed like the best reliever prospect in the draft, drafted as a Cubs second round pick, is a guy that people thought could potentially make an impact this year if they needed him to. He's probably a guy that could be added to the South Bend roster. And then Hernan Perez, Zach Short. I saw something about maybe Zach Short being injured, so that could keep him off this roster, but he's one of their few, like, close to MLB ready prospects for at shortstop. And I don't even know if you want to call Short a prospect at this point, but a talented guy that deserves MLB recognition at least. So, but that's the roster. In terms of the schedule, the Cubs are expected to play 40 games against the NL Central, with another 20 coming against the AL Central. Obviously, that has a lot to do with location and where those teams are. It should limit travel, what have you. But Midwest has always been pretty good at travel to begin with. So 40 games against the NL Central. The Cubs will be facing both the Indians and White Sox six times. And then the Twins as well are factoring into that 10 games or 20 game slate of AL Central teams. But they unfortunately miss Detroit and Kansas City, who the Cardinals will get to play. But they do, of course, face the Pirates. That'll be a nice buffer for the Cubs themselves. But the schedule, I mean, the Cubs have some good matchups. And of course, everyone's pointed out here a few times now, through 60 games last year, the Cubs were tied for the best record, or tied for the division lead and the second best record in the NL at 34-26. Granted, 60 games from 162 game season isn't necessarily an indicator. And obviously, the Cubs kind of fell off the table from that point on because they didn't make the playoffs. So it's hard to kind of figure out how the season's going to go. It's going to be tough for David Ross to handle this as a first-year manager. I'm interested to see what kind of toggling and roster movement they'll make as the season goes on. Injuries are a big factor right now. Obviously, it sounds like the DH is going to be involved here one way or another. And there is a total of obviously 60 players. There's the taxi squad group that are going to be coming from South Bend. There's an interesting little wrinkle, though, that if a player, now if the Cubs, what's likely going to be happening is we're going to see teams probably purge some pretty decent players to cut salary or guys that just aren't going to make the team. A lot of mid-level relievers. There's probably guys stick around in free agency that I haven't signed yet, wanting to see out of this spring training 2.0. There's injuries that arrive. There could still be some decent roster movement, but as Brett Taylor talked about at Bleacher Nation a couple days ago, the transaction freeze was lifted earlier last week, and we didn't really see much movement. I think a pitcher got placed on the 60-day DL from the Braves. I think that was the only move we saw. 60-day IL, excuse me. And that was the only transaction we saw, and that's probably what we're going to see. You know, there's like we're going to see trade rumors pop up because the trade deadline is at August. So you're talking about maybe about a month into the season, and the trade deadline's coming up. I don't see a lot of movement happening just because it's hard to value prospects, especially guys that aren't going to be able to play pretty much at all this year. It's hard to trade these guys just simply because you don't know with where the deadline's going to be. If your team, you could make a case that all you need is a week's worth of wins and suddenly you're back in the playoff mix. So it's going to be hard for teams to evaluate whether or not they truly feel they're competitive or not, or out of it necessarily. But then on top of that, you don't really know what 2021 is going to bring. The financial situation's beyond that with the CBA. I don't see a lot of teams being willing to make moves, especially like to acquire a guy like Francisco Lindor or Chris Bryant, if his name pops up again in trade rumors, which I would expect it to. It's going to be really hard for them to find a deal that really you could feel comfortable about, just because there is so much just going against a deal working at this point. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of movement, but we could see guys coming in and out of this roster. And the nice thing about this 60-man roster is the Cubs can take players off of it at any point. Now, if they were to take someone off the roster, though, they are done for the season. They cannot come back. You can't add them back on. So if you wanted to, say, let's sign a mid reliever, and you needed to get rid of a guy like, you know, Dwayne Underwood, let's say, he's now off that 60-man roster. He cannot come back. So the Cubs do have some flexibility, but there are consequences to it because obviously the league wants to limit movement from players. They don't want to see people bouncing around from the AL Central to the, you know, the NL West sort of thing. Or they want to try and keep players as for the most as they can contained. And as we're seeing already before the season kicks off, there are quite a few COVID cases that have popped up around the league, as specifically a lot of teams and facilities that were in Florida, but the Rockies, the Phillies, the Blue Jays, it sounds like the Yankees. There's probably more cases that will come out as we go through here, but it's going to be nerve-wracking, to say the least, to see how the season kind of goes, especially because just 2 weeks ago we were talking about more specifically labor discussions than we were actual baseball. But here we are, June 29th, and baseball's, you know, players are a couple days away from reporting. So I don't know what to expect from this season. I don't think anyone really does, but I'm excited for baseball to get kicked off, and I'm even more excited that it sounds like spring training is going to be commencing at Wrigley Field, which is cool. So that's about all we know, though, for this season so far. We're going to jump to the second segment here in just a moment. What's going on, Locked On fans? I am Sean Sears. I'm the host of Locked On Cubs, and I'm talking to you today about Built Bar. They are actually one of the most tasty protein bars I've ever had in my life. I am actually a former track runner, and I'm actually pretty familiar with a lot of different protein bars, and I can honestly say I've never had a protein bar that tastes this good. I'm actually eating one right now for breakfast. It is, so you can hear the wrapper here, Mint Brownie Delight. It's really good. It kind of tastes like a thin mint. They're awesome, though. Best tasting protein bars I've ever had, but not only that, they are one of the most healthy bars ever. They've got 20 grams of protein, which is pretty standard for most protein bars, but what's crazy is it's only 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs, 15 grams of protein, and particularly this mint brownie bar that I'm eating right now. It's awesome. I used to have it with like power bars, like chunky bits and, you know, like grains is what it feels like sometimes, and having to drink that down to get that aftertaste out of your mouth. That doesn't happen with these. These are delicious. The only issue I have with them is I'm trying not to eat them all because I don't want to ingest 60 grams of protein from eating 3 or 4 of these bars. But they are awesome. Perfect for workouts, perfect for post, pre-workout type stuff. Check them out right now. If you head to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and save yourself $10 off your first order. Once again, that's LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Save yourself $10 off
at builtbar.com. Some of the best tasting bars on the market. Compare them to Clif Bars. I'll tell you right now, they are healthier, better tasting, and ultimately, I just think a better bar. So check it out, builtbar.com.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and why wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brands his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers and access to AutoRock.com at home in your pocket. AutoRock.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to AutoRock.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake pads to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in an easy few clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for the professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to AutoRock.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so you know who sent you. It's us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
All right, here in the second segment, we've got players reacting to the new season as the Marquee Network shared a bunch of Instagram posts with guys like Wilson Contreras, Jason Hayward, Javier Baez, Nico Horner, Rowan Wick, Trevor McGill, Justin Steele, David Bodie, Robel Garcia, all excited the season's back. I know Rizzo and Brian have been pretty outspoken. They were both on Marquee Sports. I think it's like Cubs 360, their like daily Cubs show. Kind of goes over everything Cubs, talking about their relationship or whatnot. It was a cool article. If you haven't seen the interview yet, go to Twitter and just search Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. There's an awesome video put together from one of the Cubs related guys, Corey, who's obviously kind of a wizard with video editing, but put together a pretty solid video of Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo tribute. So that was pretty sweet. But these guys are excited to be back, and that's awesome to see. We talked, like, Ian Happ has been on 670 The Score quite a bit and saying how, you know, obviously fast start is incredibly important, but staying focused throughout the season is going to be a challenge because there are going to be outside detractors. It's hard to feel like a cohesive unit when you're kind of being regulated, especially on the road to hotels. And it's going to kind of all depend on the players taking the responsibility of wearing masks, social distancing, avoiding large crowds, avoiding bigger groups of people in general, just to stay healthy and contribute to the season. Now, it seems like I think everyone in baseball knows those risks and understands they need to do the best to minimize them, but it still comes down to people doing those things. And we've kind of seen throughout the country, at least, people are kind of fed up with wearing masks. So that could be an interesting part of this year. Yu Darvish apparently, though, has a new pitch called Supreme, is what he's referring to. It's a 93-mile-an-hour fastball splitter changeup combo that just looks absolutely nasty. It's got weird spin. It drops dramatically, but it still comes in very fast. Yu Darvish's 10-plus arsenal continues to grow, which is nuts. It was reported here before I wrap up the show, Mike Leake is the first player of the 2020 season to opt out. And then it was reported, this was released by Gordon Whitmire, he also did say that Darvish, who had expressed some concerns about playing amid COVID back in March, says he does plan on reporting to the Cubs starting July 1st. And I did see trucks coming into Wrigley Field last week, so the players' gear should be there, has arrived, and should be all set up. So getting really, really close to baseball, folks, after it looked like we might not get it for a little bit. So I'm excited. I don't know what to expect from the season. I don't have extremely high hopes that we can continuously guarantee a postseason or anything beyond that. But at the moment right now, I am excited because, hey, man, we got baseball. And that's all you can ask for sometimes. So I hope it's safe. I hope everyone stays safe. I hope we can see a successful season throughout to the postseason. It would be great. But I'm holding my breath. We'll have to see. So remember, to get this show every day, you need to subscribe to Locked On Cubs or whatever podcast app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, TuneIn app, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn app radio, wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe and leave a 5-star review. And then make sure you check out the latest episode of Locked On MLB hosted by Sully. Tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB after this episode of Locked On Cubs. And then make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Thanks for tuning into your guys' Daily Cubs podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, go Cubs.